The Burning Maze, Chapter 29. A horse is a horse, of course, and no one can... Run, he'll kill you! A floating mansion of full of shoes. Hermes would have been in paradise.
Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood, the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
Ava, Neve, how are you?
I'm chilling. I got a massive slushie from Sonic, with nerds in it. So
making big moves, money moves.
Yeah, no.
Why is there nerds in it? I'm actually really upset by this.
No, don't knock it till you try it. It elevates it so much.
I just have a lot of questions. But like primarily, like, what is the texture like?
Ava, the color is
looks like grass.
This isn't like, no. Okay, it's almost done. So it looks green now. It was very blue, don't worry. The texture is, it's pretty much what you'd expect. It's like slushy and then there are just nerds in it and you just crunch them.
I hate this. I hate it. I do.
I'm so disappointed. Why are you guys haters? It's so delicious.
I don't like weird textures.
It's not a weird texture. It's like, it's literally like the same as a McFlurry. It's like one thing in another.
That's true.
A McFlurry, it is. It's like, what in it?
Nerds.
What?
Like a McFlurry with M&M?
Yeah, or Oreo. It's something with something else in it.
You know, well, okay, by that rule.
By that definition,
it's also just like shepherd's pie.
You guys literally cannot, like, don't judge it. It's so good, you guys.
I'm just like, I just never want nerds to be wet.
They're kind of not. Like, I don't know why.
That's even more concerning.
I don't know why they, like, just taste normal. They're cold, but, like, not that cold. And it's like, no, it's, you guys, it elevates the experience so much. It gives so much more flavor.
Neve, how are you?
A little.
Hey, I'm supposed to ask that.
I literally tonight had the most insane experience on the bus because work was a little tense. They like understaffed for how many parties they had booked. So it's a really surprising restaurant workplace that like people are not normally yelling at each other, because every other restaurant I've worked at, people are normally yelling at each other. It's not quite normal here. Like, it's very, I've only ever seen it happen once or twice. And tonight, I guess, was the third. Cause like there was yelling, cause there was like so much tension in the room. So I'm like, I'm trying to get home in time to record this. I'm like, you know, we're already a little tense. And I get on the bus. You can like track the bus on the app for the SEPTA. You could see like where it is. And I could see that it was leaving its like destination. It's a crosstown bus, and it was leaving its destination on the other side of the city and headed toward me like 7 or 8 minutes later than it was supposed to. And I was like, all right, that should probably be fine, like based on, you know, I might be like 1 or 2 minutes late. And as I watch it approach, I realize it's losing time. Like it's getting more and more on track. And I'm like, huh, I guess there's just like no traffic, but that's like really crazy to watch it like build back up. By the time it only got to me like 3 minutes late, which was like crazy because it started out like 8 minutes late. And when I got on that bus, I quickly realized how it was doing this, because this bus driver must have pulled away from Penn's Landing and been like, you know what? I'm going to make the time up. He was flying down this major roadway, like flying. I was actually like feeling kind of bad that I had to hit the stop button, because every time you did, it sent everyone like screeching, because this man was driving this bus so fast. When you look on Google Maps, the amount of time it takes for you to get from my job to my house, it says it's a 12-minute drive. tell me how the bus got me from the stop where it picks me up to a block away from my house in 8. Like, it's a bus. It stopped for other people and it still got me there in 8 minutes. I was like, that was a roller coaster.
That's too fast.
That's too fast.
That's crazy.
Full of people. He was, I'm not even lying. He was flying. You could like feel the wind coming through the old cheap windows of the bus. It was really crazy. Flying.
I don't think those buses are made to go that fast. I've been on those buses.
Yes, he was like, it's a Monday. I'm bored. I'm making up this 8 minute loss. And trust, I bet he was making it to like the stops past ours, like early. Like he was flying down this route. It was really shocking. But otherwise I'm good. How are you, Brayden?
I'm good. I'm trying to think of what I even did today. It was just like such a typical day. You know, I just like really like did my online work in the morning and then I had lunch and I went to my job and then I went to the gym and then home and then it was like already like 9:30 and I was like, Jesus Christ.
I guess that's kind of a good way to start.
I was calling one of our friends to give her advice. And I also at the same time had forgotten my shorts at home. But I was planning going to the gym. I had already mixed up my pre-workout. So I said, I'm going to go buy shorts. Not an easy thing to do in the winter is what I found. I was like, I need more workout shorts anyways. I ended up landing on a pair of women's running shorts from Target. Because the men's, all of the only men's shorts were like extra large. And like,
and that's really something and that like has to fit. Yeah.
8 inches. I still ended up picking, I thought like a women's medium would like, no, still a little too big. I'm also not woman shaped.
No.
No.
It would, yeah. Different proportions there.
Yeah. They're not bad. They're just like a little, I don't got thighs as thick as these shorts think I do. It's like, what's happening here? But like, you know what? I need to go harder on leg day anyways, like gym goals.
Totally.
When I tell motivator. It's like significant, they're like, there's a significant room in the legs. So it would take a lot to make that up. That was so boring. Other than that, like, I didn't, no, thank you. Other than that, we're just chilling, I guess. I'm ready for the holidays. I'm ready for the holidays to happen, but also be over, you know? I'm so stressed in anticipation. When you're hearing this, we'll be midway through the holidays. And Slay, I'm happy for everyone hearing this that the holidays are almost over.
I am excited, but also, like, this is the week now that, like, so much next year planning is happening because everyone knows like next week they don't got you, you know, like you might be there, but you might not, you're not there. So like, I feel like all of the planning for next year, like for like starting stuff next year at both my jobs has like all been this week.
Yeah. It's just like a weird time where it's like, there feels like so much to do before the end of the year and the beginning of the next year, but also no one wants to do anything.
Yeah.
Including me.
Work.
I don't want to do anything either.
I took a nap today.
Nice.
Like a long one, like an hour and a half. I was so tired.
Work. Welcome back to Return to Camp Half-Blood. This week we'll be discussing chapters 29 through 33 of The Burning Maze, Trials of Apollo, The Burning Maze, through the theme of altruism. Also, we're talking about the big thing that happens this week, which is crazy. But we won't say anything until after the summary, because then in the summary, Ava's about to reveal what happens, and she's going to do that now.
Okay, so basically a big fight. A lot happens in these chapters, but it's kind of like largely the same. It's like Caligula Medea type deal. And they are fighting our little favorites, and Piper almost gets knocked the fuck out. We think she's the one who's dead. We get a little fooled for a little while, and then she wakes up, and I think it's like Medea who's like, no, she's not the one. She's not dead. She's alive, mama. She's taking a nap. Not really. But, I'll fill in the middle after I go to the end. At the very end, Jason gets super stabbed through the back by a spear. And everyone is like, oh, he's probably dead. And then, he just stabs him again, just to be sure. And everyone is so sad.
Out of time.
Awesome.
We did have an extra chapter this week. They were all short though. It was weird. Cause it went by so fast and we read five chapters.
Yeah. The first chapter especially felt like four words.
It was a lot of action. So like, it was quick to go and, quick get to step in. Jason's dead. We gotta do songs before we get derailed. I don't even know when to talk about it. Like, forget format. Let's do songs. My song is when I tell you I spent like a literal hour trying to find the perfect song, and I still am not convinced I did. But I feel pretty good about my choice, which is To Be Alive by Rina Sawayama. It's kind of ironic.
Jason's not.
But no. It's like what it means to be alive, and like it, like being alive is being hurt, but like I don't know. It felt like right to me that like Jason like kind of fulfills his purpose, and his purpose is to save Piper.
Yeah,
not even Apollo. Like, he also saves Apollo Knight, but this death makes his purpose in life to have been to protect Piper.
Yeah.
And that was really was weigh on me as I was like looking at songs. And I just feel like this song really gets at it. I also needed something like really cinematic and grand, because I will say the moment where he like unleashes the wind, like the visual of it is so fucking cool. Oh my God. We'll talk about it more. I have so many thoughts, but, I just needed something that like really underscored that moment and his death and the like emotion and the weight of it. Like I ballied about with some Mariana's Trench songs, some Fall Out Boy songs. Mm-hmm. I was like Requiem in D minor, Mozart.
I love that. That's fierce.
Like which didn't feel wrong. I also thought about Hurricanes by Rina Sawayama. I had a lot of thoughts. I could probably make a playlist about Jason's death. And I have another song that I think I'm going to use next week, probably. We'll see what happens, but like about like the response to it, because this is about the death, not necessarily, we don't really get their reactions.
Yes.
We don't get
they're escaping at the,
Yeah, that's mine.
I feel like a terrible person because you have such a Brayden, you had such a sweet pick, and it's so profound. And mine is just I think mine's a little too soon. So I'll give you a hint. It's by Kesha. And it's not We Are Who We Are. It's not TikTok. It's not Blow. It's Die Young by Kesha. Because he did.
Yeah. Neve, what was your song?
Mine is by an artist that the wonderful Philly Music Fest showed to me. I feel very quirky and different, knowing an artist that not a lot of, it's not Declan McKenna. Is he pulling that up? It's by an artist called Julia Pratt. Do you know that?
No.
Exactly.
Oh, get God.
I'm so
that's real different. Obnoxious news.
I'm kidding. It's called Hopeless Romantic. It's an absolutely devastating song, generally. But it has a lot of imagery of exactly what you were talking about, Brayden, of just like out in an act of like love, like, and it's like all metaphors in this song of like, you know, like violence and like hurting yourself for someone that you love. And it's obviously all not real in the song, but in the book, it's unfortunately extremely real. But yeah, it's a very pretty song, like sonically, and the lyrics are really great. And I think that it was a good, like, I think it's a good balance of like the emotions that Jason probably went through to make this decision, as well as the emotions that Piper's probably gonna experience in the next chapters, yeah, or like maybe experience in the moment.
Yeah.
So that's why I picked it.
You also reminded me that I wanted to reiterate that part of my choice of my song too was, it feels like what Apollo is experiencing. It's really like, it's, I open my eyes and I finally know what it feels like to be alive, is the chorus. And like, we really in these chapters get Apollo's, like, really starts to understand what mortality actually is. And he realizes that and because he tries to sacrifice himself, he realizes that being human means dying.
Yeah.
Like he really internalizes it. And that's why Jason's death, I think it was written well, and it's great. I think it's such good writing for Apollo's story. Great in service. And like, Apollo needed to experience someone this important. Like, he's not like that close to Jason. Yeah. But
he knows he's important.
Yes. And like, is someone he admires, yeah, too. Yeah. Fantastic. I don't even know if it's appropriate to say favorite moments.
I know, because it really is. Oh, it's so sad. And like, just the timing, just like at the very end of the chapters, it really like hits you with the, like, Jason's last words being, "Go remember," and Apollo being like, "Yeah, I remember that conversation we had this morning." Like, oh my God. The fact that this all happens in like a day.
It's even, at first I was like, that's so fast. And then I was like, actually,
it's really not.
It's great. Well, it's less than a day. So it is fast. Oh,
yeah. But like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Cause Jason, at least, has been implied to us that he's been thinking about this day and like what it would mean to take on this enemy with this prophecy, and like the idea of sacrificing himself, he's clearly been thinking about for a while.
Yeah.
Which is why he gives the "I'm gonna die" speech to Apollo and then does.
Let's take our break and then come back to talk about the theme, because we're just gonna end up talking about it anyways, and we might as well.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right. Altruism. It's like another word for selflessness, if you don't know what altruism means. Now that we've gotten that over.
Now that that's out of the way.
I wanted it to be immolation, which which means altruistic suicide, because that's what happened. Like self-sacrificing your life specifically for something. But immolation heavily implies dying by fire, which he does not do because he was stabbed.
And neither does Apollo, because Apollo also has a big moment of almost dying. But not by fire. Also by stab.
An explosion, kind of like, but no fire.
Yeah.
He kind of got like Rue from the Hunger Games, but backwards.
By himself, yeah.
I'm talking about Jason, but
yes. Yeah.
But Apollo got Rue from the Hunger Games forwards, but by himself. Yeah.
I will say the usage of that arrow, I never thought we would see the silly little arrow used in this way.
I actually think that choice took away from the moment.
It was crazy.
It was necessary, I guess, for him to not have killed himself.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like they could have saved him anyways. I feel like the humor kind of undercut the moment.
Yeah.
Really funny. Don't get me wrong. When the arrow, this is my sad moment, but I'm gonna say it now. Like when the arrow is like, I was bobbing and weaving away from his heart. I don't want to be in his heart. I was like, this is so funny.
I think that moment. I think I do want to chat a little bit about Apollo's like self-sacrifice moment before we move on, before we like really talk about Jason,
mm-hmm.
just to get it out of the way, just because it was like, it was a great way to prelude something like a major character death happening. Because even though Jason is obviously not a major character in this book, like he was the major character of the last series. So yeah. He's very important. And for, like you were saying, like for Apollo's journey in these books, like he made this choice to sacrifice himself to ruin their plan, but he like kind of, like he's Apollo. Like he kind of believed, like, he said, like, I was relying on Medea's healing. Like, he never really thought. He was like, I'm ready. He may have been thinking, I'm ready to die to protect these people. But, like, he never actually thought it was going to happen to him or anyone else, you know? And for him to, like, get away with, like, cheating death in such, like, a grand way by, like, doing this stab and, like, all the elements working out so that he doesn't actually die. And then to immediately have it followed by a major character sacrificing themselves and actually dying like for them. It was just like, probably like it, I felt like it was a good climax to that arc of Apollo. Cause he could have easily left that situation being like, well, you know, death really still does elude us. Like we're still good. And then like it, we were not. Yeah. Also, it was like, it's frankly been a lot of books since we had like a big death.
I was going to say, I think it's been the right amount of time, you know?
Perhaps too long.
Because
did anyone die in the Heroes of Olympus?
Literally, because the last Olympian had a body count. Like, we had people going down in that book.
Octavian died.
But that was something we were all rooting for. But that was
fun.
Yes.
Like, there was, because the first five books, the Percy Jackson and the Olympian series that they based a TV show off of that is currently airing.
Great job with it, Rick. It's doing well.
Great show. Great show.
That is like, there is death. Death is a present consequence in those books.
To a lot of, like, obviously not to our main trio, but like.
But like you have the sense that any of them could have died, because we get some big, like that, the Zoe death.
Yeah.
We start off with, I think Talia is dead. She's not, but like, that is a death that hang, there are two deaths that hang over the entire first book, which is Sally.
Yeah.
And like, neither of them are dead, but it.
Well, Talia was for a good while.
Yes. Well, she wasn't dead. She was a tree.
Tree.
True.
Get your facts straight, Neve. So trees are alive.
So Talia Stan.
Talia wasn't a rock. Rocks are dead. Well, are you
rock
dead?
Rock is never dead.
Actually, you are not dead if you've never been alive.
But in the...
Whoa.
No, I
can't open that up.
No, I... Well... I
don't, we just went opposite ways with it.
We're a pro-choice podcast.
That's true.
That is why I made the I was like, are things that are... aren't dead alive still dead? No.
You're right.
A rock is the same as an unborn child.
And that's that. Back to Percy Jackson. But no, there is like very real deaths that hang over. Like, I always think of Selena.
Oh, I was gonna say Zoe.
Well, Zoe, yes, but Zoe was like Selena, we knew.
Selena was an ongoing character.
Like, she was like a very long-standing character. Well, yeah, but he was the villain. And so you had
dare we forget Bianca?
Bianca, yeah.
Bianca, real early death.
Yeah.
Beginning of that book. Yeah. No, not really, but three quarters.
Like, yeah. Not at all. Yeah.
Thirds.
But like, we had major character. We had like characters that existed throughout all four books in The Last Olympian. Like.
Yeah, and some cameo queens.
Yeah. I can't, like, the Lost Hero just didn't.
No one died. Not one person died. That's not true, again, because Octavian. But, like, no one else. A lot of, no one else died.
There's a lot of implied deaths. There's a lot.
I don't even. We're not even given, like, side character deaths, though.
We're only given, like nameless, like, oh, demigods.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, demigods died
in battle, but like, we have no idea who these people are. And like, when in the other books, we knew these people, and they were even like,
you
some
could
of
have
the
killed off Drew Tanaka. Like,
we would have, like, been, it would have had an impact. Like,
well,
well, we thought Leo died, but
that's,
he didn't.
That's also the suffering of the fact that there were so many. It was such an. In another way that the ensemble cast worked as a detriment, and like, Rick didn't really manage it in the best way of like, we had enough time going over what all fucking seven of them were doing.
You could have killed one of them.
Well, they tried to kill one of them.
And he's now succeeded in killing one of them.
True.
Different one.
Different one.
Different.
I mean, it is like, we do have to like, I think, state that explicitly, that Jason had to die because Leo was saved.
Ooh. And honestly, I'm so content with that. I would rather Jason go than Leo any day.
No, me too.
It's so sad they made him better and then he killed
him. I know. I like don't feel that bad. No, I like his character more because he's dead.
Precisely.
I didn't care. It was good writing.
We can look back on him relatively fondly.
Yes, I did feel this death. Like, I went.
I was upset. I was really surprisingly like affected, because it was just good writing. Like, it served it served so much purpose. It was like, so I really thought my girl Piper was taking the L. She was not looking good for most of these chapters. And I think that it was so impactful to have Apollo, like there are lines where I don't remember where this was and that's okay. But I remember there was a line that Apollo was like, that Piper was really looking like on her last leg. And Apollo was like, I decided that Piper McLean would not be the one to die tonight. And then he really, like, you know, that happened for real.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that the structuring of all of that, like, it does lead you to be like, oh my God, like, I can't believe this actually happened.
No, because it does. There is a moment, at least one moment in the set of chapters where you think the one who, you know, someone's going to die. You can feel someone's going to die. But there's a moment where you think it could be any of them.
Yeah.
Even Apollo, frankly.
Yeah.
Like, I never thought, like, I knew Jason was the one who died. But I was never under, like, if I didn't know that, I was never under the impression that Apollo would be dead forever. This is his book. But I thought it'd be like, there was the potential for, like, a death, and then, like, then he's in this, like, purgatory place, and then he gets to go back kind of thing.
Yeah.
They do that all the fucking time in this type of fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, Percy, I feel like, has done that, like, 4 times, where they're like, he's dead, but he's not dead. Oh my God. He's it actually always bothers me. I hate the trope of like you have to choose life. You have to turn back. Your story isn't over, except in Deadpool 2, because they use it kind of ironically. Yeah. Like, they're playing with that trope. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really like Deadpool 2.
Good movie.
Even better than Deadpool 1.
I'm excited for the third.
Deadpool 3.
Very good series. But yeah, I think that it was actually deeply upsetting, which I was surprised. I was like, if Jason dies, I don't know how Rick's going to make me like really upset about it. But it was like deeply upsetting.
Yeah, no, I care.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Surprise. It was also like,
so please.
It was also to serve like this, the Caligula is like such a monster. And it was also like good for, and like, there was no way that they went up against this specific.
Oh my God. Medea and anyone else. Like, it could have, it could have been like a baby. Like, it didn't, like, Caligula didn't even also need to be threatening at all, because Medea is such a threat on her own, and then you just add like anyone else to help, like, much less they are cornered on this ship surrounded by guards and Caligula and the horse whose name I can't pronounce,
and like Caligula saying like the way that he's been working behind the scenes of like, Piper, you hated your father's lifestyle, so I destroyed it. And if you had just gone to Oklahoma, none of this would have happened. And, like, Jason, you like building your little statues. And if you'd have just minded your business and perhaps built, like, a little temple to me one day, we would have been fine. Like, it was just, like, so...
Mm-hmm.
It was so many... There were so many moments written in well that didn't feel like, you know, didn't feel like they were forcing you to reflect on, like, all the ways that this couldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that is really good structuring leading up to like a character death like that, because you just had all these little moments where you were reflecting like subconsciously of like, oh, this didn't have to be this way.
Yeah,
but there was, you know, but fate has led us here. And it was like, so that made it even more impactful.
I think on top of that, the reason it like really works with Caligula too is what you're talking about with the, oh, you could have done this, and like the idea of complacency.
Yeah.
Mm.
And like we said before, these books are very topical and feel like a direct response to Donald Trump. And like the idea of like how these people get power that shouldn't have power is complacency. And that it is an altruistic act in itself of like, overcoming complacency, because like you can be like, there are people who can be comfortable.
Yeah.
When these people are in power, because they won't be affected. And so mm-hmm. it's easy to do nothing when you're not the one directly affected.
Yeah.
And that's frankly why he was elected in the first place. And like, why we still struggle with that. But like, now we're in this very divided place as a country where like some people are affected and some people aren't, but more people have been affected in the past few years. Like, and yeah. like, that's how Biden and Harris got elected, because more people like realized that, oh, they were also on the chopping block.
Yeah. Like yeah. coming for me too.
Yeah. The threat wasn't as serious when they're not coming for you.
That's so
true. Even if you don't agree with the person.
It was a great way to like show that of like that this sacrifice, even though the two of them could have quietly gone, you know, they're like gone to these lives that they didn't love, but like they weren't in active danger.
Mm-hmm.
Like still choosing to go into that danger for the greater good. It was a good way to like
yeah.
write about that.
And it's something that's easy to forget in reading, especially this genre, that like, and especially because the original book set up that they're like always in danger because like they attract the danger.
Yeah.
But like the idea of these kids who put themselves are so constantly choosing to put themselves on the line. It's not always their option, but like it is like really compelling, like especially in these books, that every like Apollo's got to be doing this. Meg is like kind of on the run, but like all of our other characters that are popping in and out are like really making an active choice to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And they don't have to be. Like it is now, they're now older and they're allowed to make the choice.
Yeah.
But like the fact that they are still choosing to like fight the good fight, I guess, like
yeah.
it is really touching.
Yeah. We literally hated him so much, but it is still just like sad to think that
like,
he's
is just like on the surface, like plain tragic.
Yeah. Like it is just like, I just feel like it's so surprising to me that it is just still like upsetting to think that he did not make it out of this one, you know?
Yeah. It doesn't feel real yet.
We spent an ungodly amount of fucking time in his thoughts. Especially in The Lost Hero. So
yeah, and doing nothing.
And they weren't good thoughts, but we were there.
I will say, there's a little bit of a, yeah, serves you right. In the fact that he dies in someone else's POV, and I think that's penance for, for Nico, frankly.
Yeah, frankly.
Yeah.
Should we do sass moments?
We could. Yeah, there were.
I know, it's like it feels so weird, but like there were funny moments.
It feels slightly disrespectful, but.
But you know, we cannot.
But we hated Jason.
Shrug, because. Tradition.
Yep.
It's true.
So I don't even know what, like, the arrow was so funny, but those moments feel so inappropriate too. I also think the ongoing joke of the names of the bunny people.
I love it.
I mean, I already said mine. I'm trying to find the exact quote. You know what? I actually choose a different moment. Insidious, the horse.
Mm.
Piper calls her voice a little stronger. Kick Medea in the head. Insidious flared his nostrils. I think I'll kick Medea in the head. No, you won't, Medea shrieked.
He was kind of fierce.
He was funny. Oh my God, it was like the horses.
And I'm a fan, I dare say.
Yeah, He had me chuckling sometimes.
Because he was like, the horses are gonna rule the world. And like, I got my own thing going on here. And I respected him for that.
He was so clean-coated.
He's just playing the game.
Yeah. So Ryan Reynolds can in that era.
Mine is the haiku that starts 31. I give you my heart, I mean metaphorically. Put away that knife.
That's funny.
I love it. Mine is also a horse moment. Not specifically in Cetatus, but it was like most equine agendas were fairly straightforward. Food, running, more food, good brushing, repeat as desired. And then they keep talking about like the most serious topics ever.
Who are our offerings for? It's Jason.
It's Jason.
Fine. You win. You get an offering.
I mean, he did not.
He really lost. He frankly, he like really lost.
He lost.
Well,
succeeded.
He succeeded in getting an offering from us.
And he succeeded in his goal. But that goal was unfortunately the biggest L you can take.
Yeah. The ultimate L.
The biggest L you can take. Death. That's crazy. You're not wrong. Well, if you two were giving your offerings to Jason.
Well, he's dead.
Yes, but you know who almost
died? Die Young is his death song.
Yeah, but you know who almost died and who is going to suffer so much because of him being dead? Piper.
Fair.
I mean, Piper's going to get by now.
I'll allow it.
Piper literally almost died. No, trust me, I'm sad about Jason. I just haven't processed it yet.
Fair.
It doesn't feel real. Like, it feels like he's about to come back. And I'm going to be like, oh, this fucker again.
He's in the denial stage of grief.
But this one feels... This one feels permanent.
It does feel permanent.
This one, you know what? I don't know if we're coming back from this one.
That scare is pretty bad. I mean, we'll see.
We shall see, but I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it feels...
Feels pretty final.
Yeah. Because Leo, we just like vaguely...
Leo was a couple chapters too.
Yeah.
And like, we didn't see him stabbed multiple times. Oh
yeah,
it's children are loose, like, man. They just can't get a break.
Talia is fine
now, for a while.
Yeah, now is important.
Votes off. I guess Caligula for killing Jason. The death feels bigger than Caligula. You know? But I guess he is the one who does it. So Caligula.
Yeah.
I guess I'll second that. I think that makes sense.
I'll go for 3. He sucks.
He does.
Yeah, he like really like he did order people's hearts to be cut out. He's like really going like cartoon supervillain, but like R-rated cartoon supervillain. Like really, and really like, violent. Like the boys levels.
But it was still gross. Like every character who's mentioned Caligula has been like, guys, that he does not fuck around.
And like no,
we found out he does not.
He has not been fucking around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, rest in peace, Jason. But that's all for this week. Join us next week. We'll be discussing
chapters 34 through 37.
Make sure to follow us on social media. We are at Return to Camp on every platform that matters. We also have a Ko-fi account and a Redbubble store with new stuff. And a website, www.returntocamp.com.
.com.
.com.
Peace.